I'm Samayak, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life and very effervescent and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sukkot, Samayak, which means have a joyous feast of tabernacles, because Friday at sundown begins the season of joy and continues for 8 days. So tonight and next week, we will look at this happy seventh feast that, as in all the others, points totally to Jesus. So, if these appointments of our Lord are new to you, rejoice, because you are about to be very blessed. You know, we call these appointments of our Lord the bridges to understanding correct eschatology,
meaning the study of end times,
which in these very last days has been so hijacked. Although, I guess you could say we were warned it would happen, as in Matthew 24:10-12.
And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold.
Saints of God, do you think we're there? Let's pray.
Holy, holy, holy art thou, O Lord. We thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit and your Son, as we will soon celebrate his earthly birth. We adore you and will always proclaim your gospel, for you alone are our salvation. We lift up to your throne this week's prayer request, especially from those suffering from depression or loneliness. May you comfort their souls and refresh their love. We also plead for your divine protection over our children against the demonic forces who bombard our loved ones. We ask for your continued blessing on this ministry, for your favor in our finances, while keeping our burdens light. And God, please bless America, and may you help our president do exceptionally well tonight. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, let us begin by saying God's timing is perfect. It was like the last possible hour to open up the seat on the highest court of our land, and most are sure that Judge Amy Barrett will be confirmed.
Yeah, but it won't be pretty.
But in answer to the thousands of prayers from last Saturday's Teshuvah's prayer gathering, meaning to return to him, and it was held in Washington, D.C., in the midst of all that Masonic occultic symbols, it was great to watch, which had to bring a smile to God's countenance. And it's still on YouTube. They actually have not taken it down yet.
Imagine that.
Well, in less than an hour, the presidential debates will begin right here in Cleveland. Biden has been exhaustingly schooled for many hours every day for a while now, and President Trump wants him drug tested.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
Of course, we do pray our president does well.
Yes, you know, even with all of his flaws, he needs to be reelected.
That's right. And who doesn't have flaws? But God is using him to ultimately fulfill his will, as he did with King Cyrus. You know, evil will always exist, but maybe we'll get a respite from it growing so quickly, since his church still remains. Either way, we can trust that God does take care of his own.
Amen.
And that statement complements our topic tonight,
the Feast of Tabernacles.
Because it pictures how God totally took care of his own in the desert wilderness after escaping Egypt. And we read in Zechariah 14 that this festival of tabernacles, well, will still be observed in the Messianic kingdom. After all, it is still memorialized in anticipation of the great harvest of the Messianic millennial kingdom. Interesting that God chose the first day of tabernacles for Jesus to be born on earth.
You know, interesting, or, you know, just like him.
Yeah, for sure. Anyhow, tabernacles will usher in the millennial kingdom on earth, right after the judgment of the sheep and the goats that we read about in Matthew 25:34.
Where all our individual needs will be met.
Mm-hmm. In fact, still today, their traditional Feast of Tabernacles prayers is prefaced with,
"Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all our needs."
I love that. Our God who provides for me all our needs.
Well, you know, that's certainly personal.
Mm-hmm. So, if you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior, then you too can claim that promise and remind God that you are not only aware of that promise, but that you lean on His promises to provide.
Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Amen. And that's what Tabernacles is all about, His complete provisions for His own. And the Hebrews understood that during their extended time in the wilderness, that He took care of them. So, the yearly sukkah, or booth, which they are commanded to build by God in Leviticus 23, is a visual memorial of that time.
And spiritually, Yeshua is our Sukkot of covering.
And this Friday begins the 8th day Feast of Tabernacles and is the 7th of all the feasts. And we have much to say about it.
Lots of typology surrounding this great harvest.
Yes. It really points to Jesus' millennial reign as king over all the earth, with the first 7 reigning from heaven, and then we return to earth for the remaining 993 years, and then eternity.
We have covered a lot over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, we started.
Starting with Teshuvah.
We did. Yes, the 40-day season of repentance and return, which I got to say again, Saturday's Washington rally really did focus on. I was impressed how they incorporated some Hebraic roots.
Yeah, shofars and all.
Mm-hmm. And we also studied God's New Year Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets. We examined the culmination of Teshuvah called the Days of Awe and showed how it was a type or picture of the tribulation.
Yeah, well, focusing on repentance.
Mm-hmm. Especially on Yom Kippur's Day of Atonement,
which ended yesterday at sundown.
Yes. And we gave the details of how that, too, will be fulfilled with Christ's second coming at the end of the tribulation. So tonight we will examine the 7th and greatest of all feasts called Tabernacles or Sukkot, and next week we'll address its other names as well.
Like Season of Joy, which is Jesus' real birthday.
Mm-hmm. And if you're new to our program, you can learn more about all this. It's still free and will always be free on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Well, before we get into that, any important news?
Well, as Israel deals with an ongoing COVID crisis causing total lockdowns, it still looks like other Arab countries will soon join the Abraham Accords. And at some point, the Palestinians will have no choice. We are definitely witnessing the Daniel 9:27 covenant coming together. Right now, we really are in a new era, one of Arab-Israeli cooperation versus the Turkish neo-Ottoman expansion and an Iranian internal crisis, all under the economic shadow of the communist Chinese, who many believe continue to spread their bioweapon. And right now it's hitting Israel very hard. But over here, lawlessness still abounds, and California's wildfires are spreading into neighboring states, with arsonists embellishing the situation.
Well, at least no new hurricanes lately.
True, but we are still a few months to go on that. But again, some good news is President Trump nominating who we believe is a true conservative and a real Christian to the United States Supreme Court. We have been disappointed before, as in the George Bush picks of Justice Roberts, and we know he highly suggested to President Trump that he pick Judge Kavanaugh,
who had not been on Trump's list.
And consequently, we saw how he soon broke rank with conservatives a couple times. He even last year, I believe it was, sided with the liberals a couple times. But I think this time, if Judge Amy is able to get confirmed in time, I don't think she'll be a disappointment. And one wonders, though, what the Dems will do to slow down the process, because I know they're going to try.
Yeah, they will. All right, then. You can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, the Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please partner with us by considering a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. And always, greatly appreciated, and we'll add your name to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, so let's get right into it. It was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah, or a booth, for 7 days as a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness, where God took care of them completely. And there is a more detailed account of this by Nehemiah upon them returning to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity, when the law was read, and it was read by Ezra, and it was on Tishri 2, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the new year. So, honey, please read Nehemiah 8, verses 13 through 18.
Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month,
which was tabernacles,
and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards or the courts of the house of God. And in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner.
And that we read about in Leviticus 23:39. Also, besides on Saturday, they enjoy an extra 2 high Sabbaths. On the first day, which is Tishri 15, Yeshua's birth to come, and also on the eighth day, which was an extra day attached to the feast.
Why is that?
Well, because coming in the future to them, Yeshua, on the eighth day after his birth, well, then he would be circumcised.
A typology of his blood covenant.
That's right. A reminder, I sent out an extra insert with our last newsletter, explained in detail how we can know all this.
And it is also up on our webpage. Give it a look.
That's right. But if you still are not able to get this teaching and want us to send you a paper copy, just send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send it out to you the next day. It's really so amazing when you see for yourself how easy it is to figure out just by knowing when John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was serving in the temple.
And that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary told her she was also.
Mm-hmm. And with that information, we thereby also learned that Jesus was incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of Hanukkah, also called the Lesser Feast of Lights, in Tabernacles is called the Greater Feast of Lights.
Because he is the light of the world.
Amen. Let's talk about some of the ceremonies, because they too all point to Jesus. One of the ceremonies performed during this Feast of Joy is called the Waving of the Lulav. So let's read Leviticus 23, verse 40.
And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall receive before your Lord God for 7 days.
Another great typology, so please listen closely. Everyone brings a citron fruit. They chose an etrog, which is comparable to a lemon, but bigger and sweeter. And that would serve as the fruit of the good trees.
Trees usually represent people.
Right. And there are good trees and there are bad trees. Anyhow, it's demanded very specifically by God. And they also needed the branches of a palm. A myrtle could be used for the leafy tree and also some willows. So then the three branches were held in the right hand with the etrog held upside down in the left. Then they would join together both hands while turning the etrog upright and begin waving the entire lulav in six directions.
North, south, east, and west, and up and down.
Yes. And here we see how spiritually it represents a union. For after a person is turned right side up to God, then they would unite with Israel, represented by the branches. And anyone could choose to serve the one true God and join in with Israel. So we can see how this lulav ceremony has even a greater meaning for Gentile believers in Yeshua. Let's go over it. The etrog fruit represents us when, as a believer, should, as directed in God's word, join themselves to Israel.
To produce a greater and sweeter union.
And there are some more very unique characteristics about the different components of the lulav.
It's each specifically ordered by God for a reason.
Yeah, for a very good reason. Because the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have fragrance. The willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze.
Well, you know, that's a great picture of the diversity of the body of Christ.
Yes, we are a diverse group with different attributes and different gifts. But there's still another lesson to glean from all this. Each item is found in diverse places. The willow is found by the brook. The myrtle is found by the mountains. The date palms are found by the valleys. And the citron etrog in the fertile valleys of the very lower lands. The body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world. Should you choose to worship the real God, not Allah, Buddha, and so many others. Okay, another huge typological ceremony is called the House of the Water Pouring. I know it sounds weird, but it's true. We see the priests would cut 25-foot willow branches and align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. When signaled, they each step forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they step forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. Now, what do you think that sounded like? A rushing wind approaching the temple. Meanwhile, the high priest had retrieved a golden vessel of water known as the Mayim Hayim, or living water, from the pool of Siloam. You know that same place where in John chapter 9, Jesus put clay on the man's blind eyes from birth, and told him to wash it off in the pool of Siloam. So it's a pretty miraculous place. After the high priest had retrieved the golden vessel of water, a Levi priest would carry a silver vessel full of, guess what? Red wine. So, as the priest with the willows approached the temple, they met up with the group from Siloam. And when the trumpet was blown, a single flute began to sound, called the Pierced One, who then led the procession as the wind and the water and the wine also entered the temple. You know, our Pierced One will one day lead all his righteous ones into his new messianic temple. But there's still more. The other priests were laying sacrifices on the fire of the altar and would then circle the altar not once, but seven times on the last day, called Hoshana Rabbah, meaning the great salvation. And then the willow branches were placed against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah. After that, the high priest and his assistant ascended the altar from the east, pouring out the water with the wine over the altar. Did the light bulb go off? Of course, this pictures Jesus' side being pierced with the sword when mixed blood and water spilled out on the altar of the cross. Then, and this is truly thought-provoking, they would sing Isaiah 12, verse 3. You know, it goes like this. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Do you know what the Hebrew word for salvation is? It's Yeshua. So they were singing, let us draw water from Yeshua. Oh my gosh, that's just amazing to me. And so like what God would arrange, don't you know? And it was when Jesus had come, okay, when he was here the first time, and during this ceremony, again on the seventh day called Hoshana Rabbah, we see in John 7, verse 37, that Jesus himself proclaims, and here's what he said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You know, you miss so many gold nuggets if you don't learn about the feasts and their customs. And there's still so much more connected to this festival, as in the many other names associated with this feast and the typology of the eighth day. So we'll continue on this next week. And again, I want to read you the traditional prayer during Tabernacles. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. Isn't that beautiful? I think we should memorize that. Let me say it one more time for you in case you're taking notes. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs. He is our Jehovah Jireh, and he does provide. Oh, he might not give you an extra Cadillac or a mink coat, but you will never go without your needs. And sometimes he has a higher purpose, as in all the many martyrs that died for him. But we trust him and we love him and we know he's coming soon. So let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper in many, many different ways. Sometimes you won't even realize that you're being blessed, but you are. Pray for our president, too, for tonight. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.